Class of 2012, Missouri was leading the nation, but it wasn't for something good. According to a study done by the University of California, Los Angeles' Civil Rights Project, Missouri public schools ranked number one for the highest suspension of black elementary school students. Missouri's gap between suspension rates of black and white elementary students also was the nation's largest. For Kansas City, the data showed more than 20% of black students were suspended at least once in the 2011-2012 school year. This compares to 13% of white students and 5% of Latinos. Here to discuss the issue and what's being done about it are Dr. Tanya Gilbert. She's the Executive Director of Student Support and Community Services for Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. Dr. Gilbert, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Also here is Dr. Luis Cordoba. He's Executive Director of Student Intervention Programs. Dr. Cordoba, welcome to you too.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Gilbert, what's going on here?
The data is correct that in the 2011-2012 school year, we did see a little more than 20% of our African-American elementary students being suspended. Mm-hmm. And so that can be attributed for a number of things. We had a transition period in our district. We had a new administration. The previous year, there was a decision made to close the alternative in-district alternative schools, as well as the fact that we didn't have an in-school suspension program.
So those students at the alternative schools were going to the run-of-the-mill schools then.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, if they had some behaviors that required a suspension or what have you, rather than moving them over into the alternative schools, the principal may have issued a short-term suspension.
Mm-hmm. And was there a recognition that maybe things were out of kilter or not?
Yes, we could see that the suspension numbers were going up. But as I said, we did have a change in the administration. And since Dr. Green has been at the helm, suspension has always been at the forefront. And right now we're moving towards no out-of-school suspension absences.
Dr. Cordoba, what are your thoughts about this and at those 20% suspension rates of a few years ago?
Well, I think the data speaks for itself. I think that some of the issues that come from the homes and the communities are a center point that we need to look at. We have kids that are coming into school with trauma. We have kids that are coming into school with issues of domestic violence. And other family issues that, of course, kids have no control over that. So that would be one of the reasons why my office was formed back in 2012 to begin looking at improving attendance, reducing truancy, thus improving graduation rates, but as well as providing social and emotional support for families and students.
You know, Dr. Gilbert, if the suspension rate a couple of years ago was more than 20% of black students, what is it today?
I can tell you that for the 2013-14 school year, we saw that it decreased to 17.7%. And so it's still a number that we're not comfortable with, that we're still striving to lower. We have incorporated positive behavior supports in all of our schools, and mm-hmm. so therefore changing the actual culture of each of the schools, as well as we're looking at having in-school suspension centers so that if a student is required to be in-school suspended or out-of-school suspended, that they would actually continue their work in another site and then return back to their traditional school setting.
So the rate's gone from 20% to 17%. Are we talking just elementary school students, or is this district-wide?
This is district-wide.
Okay. Is there a benchmark number you think it ought to be? Does that number exist, or is that just too?
I'm not sure that it exists, mm-hmm. but as I said, we're not comfortable with 17.7%, and so we would definitely like to have it as low as we possibly can. And as I said, Dr. Green has mandated that we're moving towards no out-of-school suspension absences.
Dr. Cordoba, you know, Tanya just was talking here about positive behavior supports as a way to deal and grapple with all this. What is that?
Well, it's a change of climate. Trauma-informed care is one of those programs. Behavior intervention is the other. We want to create climates that are sensitive to the needs of students. We also want to create climates within the district that are trauma-informed, mm-hmm. meaning that if a child comes to school and, for example, if a student throws me the F-bomb, if I'm a teacher and I suspend a child for 3 days for that language, then as a teacher, I think I need to look at the behavior, number one, and ask myself, something's going on with this child. So with the
before reacting with a suspension, correct. Maybe there's another consideration that needs to take place.
That's
here.
Correct, and that's the intervention where we look at the behavior and the type of behavior that this student is exhibiting, so that we can provide an assessment of what we need to do in terms of providing that student with the additional support to identify what is the problem that's creating this behavior.
I gather that can become a fairly time-consuming proposition pretty quickly, Doctor.
It is. We have four social workers under my department that really their job is to identify students that have a low percentage rate of attendance. And we go to the homes. We call it the knock and talk program, where we actually engage with parent and try to find out if there's any other issues that we need to know about that will help the student participate or create a better attendance in the school environment.
Dr. Gilbert.
And we've also revamped our alternative schools so that now with our success academies, rather than waiting for a student to violate the code of student conduct, receive a suspension, and then be sent to the alternative school, we have a mechanism now where principals, once they recognize that the student may be headed in that direction, that they can also refer the student to the success academies themselves so that there's no interruption in that student's education whatsoever. And so they just may need a different placement for a moment.
So the alternative schools are back online, back in place here.
Yes, they have. Dr. Green brought alternative schools back in line. They're in the 2011-2012 school year, there was a vendor, an outside vendor, and they were pretty much a 3 or 4 hour program that was set up within the schools. Now there is a separate buildings that, and we have it from kindergarten through 12th grade so that the student continues to receive an education.
We're talking about suspension rates of black students within the Kansas City, Missouri School District and across the state of Missouri. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Sean tweeted us this. Studies have shown that mediation in school, maybe it's meditation. Meditation in school can have a positive impact. Has that been considered? Has that been tried?
I would say not that I'm aware of, but I would agree that a form of meditation is an activity that could reduce a stress level, a mm-hmm. trauma level. I'm a licensed addiction counselor in the state of Kansas and also certified in the state of Missouri and a hypnotherapist. So I do know that different types of interventions do work. I myself do mediations, conflict resolutions, but also focus on the meditation piece of it in terms of a timeout, counting to 10, but also thinking about something positive.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of you mentioned, Tanya, this idea of going to a parent's homes, the child's home, and not knocking on the door and having a conversation. How supportive are the parents when you go knock and talk? What's been your experience?
We found that they've been very supportive. I supervise the student discipline office, and we have parents that will often call in and say, you know, can you help me with this or can you help me with that? And they've been very supportive. But I know Luis's department has had some knock and talks more recently, and he may be able to give us his perspective.
Luis?
Well, we began with the hiring of two truancy officers, and I thought that the word truant was very negative.
Mm-hmm.
So we changed that to attendance ambassadors, and they do exactly that. They knock on the doors, they have a conversation with the parents, and most parents are very receptive to that intervention.
Because the image is something else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we're not there to create a havoc in their life. We're there to create support and provide them with whatever social and emotional needs, including case management, that the family may be mm-hmm. in need of. And that could be as simple as food on the table or even washing their clothes. So we've identified these needs, and we have certain partners in our communities that are working with us in terms of providing us with those additional resources that the district does not have.
Watching their clothes, you're talking, why would that be an issue for a student?
Well, if you have a student that doesn't come in with a uniform, that mm-hmm. could be viewed as a disciplinary infraction. And mm-hmm. now have time to speak more of that.
Well, it could be a disciplinary infraction, but also you may have a student who may not have proper appearance, and so therefore there could be some banter back and forth between students, and then that student then acts out. Mm-hmm. And so our district provides the services that Luis outlined, as well as the fact that we partner with a lot of community organizations, such as Giving the Basics, and they will donate a lot of personal hygiene items. We have a Students in Transition department that also helps out, and so we provide for the families and the students in that nature.
And this is a reminder that, that families that struggle financially are facing a different set of challenges than so many other families in the metropolitan area do, right?
Exactly.
And we forget that often.
And as Luis mentioned previously, a lot of times the incidents that occur in the schools, it's a result of something that's gone on in the neighborhood or, you know, through social media. The students may enter into banter back and forth. And so, therefore, when all the parties meet up in the school setting, that's where usually the bad act occurs. And so, therefore, it leads to some type of disciplinary action by the district.
Now, we haven't talked yet, and maybe a basic question here. What does it take to get suspended? What has to be triggered here to get someone knocked out of school?
Well, in the state of Missouri, it's depending upon the offense. And so the Kansas City Public Schools has a code of student conduct. And the range of offenses range from a class 1 into a class 4. Class 1 deals with things like tardies and out of uniform, whereas class 2 would be the greatest number of the offenses that we see, disruptive behavior, defiance of authority, things of that nature. Class 3s, you're getting a little bit more significant, whereas class 4, weapons, drugs, and things of that nature. So a principal in a school district is allowed to issue a short-term suspension, which is anything from 1 day to 10 days. Mm-hmm. The superintendent or designee, in our case, it's a student discipline officer, issues a long-term suspension, which is 11 to 175. And if there were something that was so egregious that the student was going to be placed on an indefinite suspension, only the board can act in that sense.
We'll talk about the impact of suspensions in just a moment. I want to bring Tim Lloyd into our conversation. He reports on education for St. Louis Public Radio. He's a former staffer for here at KCUR. And Tim, welcome back to Up to Date. It's nice to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, Tim, you just did a story about what schools in the St. Louis area are doing to deal with high suspension rates there. It sounds like the suspension rates have dropped over there, just like they have here. How have administrators achieved that, Tim?
Well, in many ways, using the same kind of strategies your guests were talking about. So that positive behavior support system, a lot of the time it goes by the acronym PBIS, which is to recognize early on what potentially is causing a student to misbehave in school, getting ahead of the problem, and addressing that through a multi-pronged approach, a lot of the time dealing with psychological issues. The other thing that we hear a lot is helping teachers recognize what are often referred to as implicit biases, so implicit racial
biases. I was going to ask you about this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So here's how this might play out in a classroom. Pardon me, a teacher might walk into a situation where, let's say, a first or second grader throws a marker across a room. One student is white, one student is black. They have the same behavior. A lot of the time, what we hear is that the black student will be sent to the office, where the white student will be perhaps given time out. Well, that can set up a chain reaction where an African-American student might earn the label as being a bad kid, and that can lead to all sorts of negative things in his or her academic career, where the white child will be given sort of a benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And this is how implicit bias can play out in the classroom. So a lot of the training that is taking place in schools is helping teachers just recognize their own biases, perhaps even biases that they don't have any idea exist.
Hey, you talked in your story about another key here, which is improving teacher training. Is that what you're talking about, Tim, that recognition of innate biases here?
Absolutely. So it's helping bringing that component into the teacher training program or teacher training schools across the state. And, you know, again, it's breaking down really for teachers, but also for administrators, too, because a lot of the time people forget that people who move up to become principals are former classroom teachers who go back to school. And so that's another component of this and helping them understand, first, any implicit bias that they may bring into either their classroom or their school, but then helping them, bringing them up to speed on some of these PBIS, again, those positive behavior strategies to help recognize problems early on and address root causes.
You know, Tim, you talked to Riverview Garden Superintendent Scott Spurgeon, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, from the St. Louis area, who said that when he came to the district, one of my non-negotiables was for us as an organization to treat students with respect, but also to work collaboratively with one another. Can you describe the approach that Superintendent Spurgeon's taking there, Tim?
Absolutely. So, again, it leans a lot on this PBIS system. And one thing that's interesting about him, he's a former minor league baseball player.
Yes.
He has this sort of team, this kind of this team approach to how he treats that district, which has actually has struggled for a long time with academic performance, and he's been able to raise that level of academic performance in that district. Deals with a lot of poverty, and his approach is really, again, just to try and understand what's going on in kids' lives. Your guests were bringing this up earlier, that when you talk about schools with high concentrations of poverty, there are any number of challenges that those kids bring to school with them. So, you know, not knocking a kid for having a dirty uniform, for example, but you know, figuring out how do we help that kid keep their uniform clean? How do we help them recognize their behaviors? How do we set up a school environment that promotes positive behavior rather than sort of treating it almost like a security issue?
Tim, hang on with us here. I want to come back to our table here and visit with Dr. Gilbert and Dr. Cordova. You know, what is the impact of a suspension, Tanya? What have you noticed over time about how does that affect a student? How far behind in class do they tend to get? What's the consequence here?
The consequence can be great in that although we have a makeup policy in that for every day that you miss, you can make up the work from that day. So, for instance, if you're given a two-day suspension, you can get the work and you have 2 days to make it up.
Do students do that? Once they've been, aren't they angry and they're stomping off and that's not happening?
They
right?
may, but what we usually try to do is work with the parent and ask the parent, you know, we're going to bring the work home. Please deliver the work earlier, or their mom, can you come up and get the work while they're on suspension?
Right.
So we usually try to make it. But you're correct. Sometimes they are angry and they may not. And so in certain classes, they may fall behind. And so when they do fall behind, what usually we see happen is they may have to repeat a grade, they may drop out, and so therefore it does have a difficult consequence on them.
And Dr. Cordova, when they repeat a grade, when they drop out, then we're looking at long-term consequences that maybe we need to think a little bit more about here, because then we're talking about crime and not getting jobs and all kinds of stuff here, right?
That's correct. With the truancy ordinance that was just passed a couple of years ago, there was a concern about kids that were not attending school, hanging out at the park. And when you hang out at the park, you have a likelihood of getting into trouble. We had reports from Kansas City Police Department where we had incidences where kids were using drug at the park. There was break-ins, car break-ins, and burglaries.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the issues that we deal with, long-term issues, when a child feels that he's not engaged in school. When the child feels that he's a problem, and this is where we begin looking at other issues and challenges for the school.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls here. Dale from Kansas City, Kansas, who's a retired teacher. Dale, good morning.
Good morning. I taught in the Kansas City Sarah School District, and I want to say hi to Tanya, and I have a lot of admiration and respect for her and what she does. Good morning. I was going to make a couple of points. One of them is...
Go quickly, Dale, if you could. I'm running short of time here.
People need to think about what's happening in terms of the other students in the classroom. We talk about the Kansas City, Missouri School District and the African-American students and being suspended. Well, you've also got most of the kids in the classroom are African-American who are being denied an education often because of the misbehaviors of students in that class.
Right.
Which is difficult to deal with. And the other thing that maybe a summer program for incoming students to help them with normative behaviors, what's expected in the classroom, and I'm saying that especially for the younger students because the problem is just not at the younger or at the high schools and middle schools, but it's also in the elementary.
You're suggesting a summer program, Dale? Did I hear you right?
That's what I would suggest, or a short-term program that the kids could go to where
Great.
They would learn what the expectations are.
What about a summer program, just quickly, Tanya?
We do have summer programs. We are looking at an extended learning year. Our district also has winter break, spring break, school, things of that nature, and almost making it a year-round process. Mm-hmm. And so I do agree with that. Also, to Dale's point, most of our lower class offenses that we do see that require a suspension, yeah. It's exactly as he said. It's disrupting the learning environment for all of the other students that are in the classroom.
Well, we just need to come back and visit this again because we couldn't get to all our callers and all my questions. Dale, Sally, Casey, I'm sorry I didn't get to your calls, but thank you both for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. Tanya Gilbert, Executive Director of Student Support and Community Services for Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools, and Dr. Luis Cordova. Again, you guys were great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, coming up on the show tomorrow, the ethics professors are here to talk about when politics go too far. Plus, we'll have Brian McTavish here with the weekend to-do list. Our show is produced by Danny Alexander, Lisa Rodriguez, Beth Lipoff, Eliza Spertus, Will Trumper, and Steven Steigman. And happy birthday to Danny Alexander. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.